Tonight, pretty late favorite Dr. Daphne Scott rides sidecar as we get an explanation on what happened yesterday from Brandon Weatherby. Then two more pretty late pals, Kevin Naughton and Michael Silver, help us close out the show. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Wednesday, November 9th, we are live in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue, where protesters are gathering outside, right on Michigan Avenue, outside our windows. They are on the island in the middle of Michigan Avenue now, and there's a group gathering. They are climbing on top of the planters right in between Tribune Tower and the Schwab building over there. Yeah, the Charles Schwab building. So there are, right in this area right now, probably about, I would say, 300, 400 protesters. But there are protesters all over the Chicago, downtown Chicago area, trying to find their way as close as possible to Trump Towers. I was filming some of this a little bit earlier. You can find a little of that video on Facebook, on the WGN's Facebook page, and also on my own page. They had mostly closed off vehicle traffic on Michigan Avenue, but I am seeing some cars going northbound, including some CTA buses. But if you are heading towards Chicago downtown area, please, I would obviously recommend staying away from Michigan Avenue, State Street, Randolph, anywhere toward Grant Park, anything that is near Trump Tower. Everyone has been peaceful, and there is a lot of screaming. There's a lot of yelling, obviously a lot of profanities. People are feeling a lot of different emotions. And I stopped and talked to a few pedestrians, some people who, thought that these just look like a bunch of thugs, other people who support it, who feel like, you know, people want to be heard. And I think there's a wide range of emotions. I had a long day. I think that it's not a surprise to many of you who listen to this show regularly that this is not what I had hoped for. I think that we are in a place where there's a lot of work to do. That's the country that we are in, and that has always been true. This is something we've talked about a lot. When we talk about legislation in Illinois, when we talk about policy in our country, when we talk about our defense, all these conversations, we often talk about what the government needs to do. And I think that this is a wake-up call. I don't even know. Last night, Ken Jacobowski called this a primal scream. The results of this election are a primal scream from all over the country that this is broken. And I think that that in part is the votes for Donald Trump and the lack of votes. The Democrats showed up in lower numbers. There were lower numbers of Democrats that showed up. The numbers of African Americans who voted for Hillary Clinton were lower than they were, and we can all talk about the various reasons, but there was a lower turnout than we thought in so many different parts of the country. I think people are surprised that Hillary lost so much of the Midwest, including Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota. She lost, she lost Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, obviously into the East Coast parts of some of those states. I'm both watching the protesters out our window and having this conversation with you, but I want to know what are you feeling right now? Because my sense is my reaction to this is, now what? We can't always control the things that happen to us. People hated these candidates. There are people who supported Hillary Clinton. They believed in what she stood for, but those numbers were low, and a lot of people weren't confident enough. That's why that Facebook page, Pantsuit Nation, I think got so strong toward the end, is people found a safe place to share their stories, to share their support. Supporters for Donald Trump, I think that there are people who believe that he can bring change to this country, and they were vocal about it. But there was a bigger portion of the population that just didn't want to say, because they didn't want to choose either one of these candidates. And a lot of people were torn. Republicans who didn't feel that he represented their party. Democrats who thought, why don't we have somebody who inspires us, rallies the base. That's why so many people were drawn to Bernie Sanders. I think that both parties really did not put up, we didn't have candidates, I think, that stood up to what we had all hoped for as candidates to represent this country. And there's a lot of work to do. This is hard for a lot of people. There's a lot of pain, and it comes from, for me personally, the language, the hateful language that was used from the Trump campaign, from Donald Trump, from mocking individuals with disabilities, really hateful language toward women, calling them fat, pigs. We don't have to talk about the audio with Billy Bush. I think that's been discussed over and over again, but language when it comes to immigrants, to Muslims, to the black community, there's a lot of pain because this is like the bully being rewarded. All the pain, it feels like it seals a deal of, yeah, you're gonna have to deal with this. This is how we feel about women. This is how we feel about minorities. This is how we feel about the disabled. And it may not be why you voted for him. It may not be that you agree with him on all those things. And I know many people who say that they don't like what he stands for, but they wanted change and they wanted to blow the whole thing up. Well, this is where we are. And either way, there was going to be a severe disruption. The Democratic Party will not come back the same way. And I don't think the Republican Party comes back the same way either. Anthony, here you go, Anthony. Yes. Yes, Anthony, how are you doing?
All right, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm safe in the Allstate Showcase studio. The protesters have moved northbound, by the way. Go ahead. What's up, Anthony?
I was kind of following the protesters on the radio. Just wanted to comment a little bit on the election outcome. You know, again, neither candidate was what we had hoped for, but I think in the end, I think we're all going to be better off with Trump. At least it's something different. You know, and I know he said some divisive things, but a lot of stuff he said was turned and made more extreme than what he actually said, like because he wanted to stop illegal immigration, somehow he became against immigration. You know, and that just didn't make any sense to me. I mean, he never said anything about any immigrants that came here the right way.
But so you were picking and I think that you and I are both picking and choosing the things that we want to highlight, right? So for you, it is stopping illegal immigration. The things that Anthony, may I for a moment? Thank you.
Certainly.
Thank you. I will just do this one point is that he wanted a test, you know, if you're Muslim or are you going to follow, you know, do you pledge to sort of fall into some category? And those are the kinds of things that I had heard. So that's just one thing. But you go ahead, Anthony.
Well, again, regarding the Muslims, I mean, we can look at Europe for an example, and it's not working out very well over there for them. I mean, again, you don't want to throw a whole group of people into one category, but you know, I hear estimates where they say 1% of Muslims are possibly involved with terrorism. And I mean, what do we have, 5 million Muslims in America?
So
you're talking about 50,000 potential terrorists.
Okay.
And what's the upside to bringing them here?
And Anthony, I saw an interesting thing today about how fascinating when you talk about lumping people in together by just, you know, these few people, then I think a lot of people would lump in Donald Trump and the KKK, and then all of his supporters are people who voted for him. So that's how we lump each other, and that's where we are falling into that trap. We can't lump each other. We are so divided now. We have to find a way to be able to talk to each other, don't you think?
Well, true. But, I mean, to be fair, I'm not worried about the KKK blowing me up. You know what
But
I mean?
Black people are.
Well, they... When is the last time they've really done anything violent?
Because already today, Anthony, there are incidents all over the country where people are feeling like this is now permission.
There was that church that was...
I don't...
Well, hold on a second, Anthony.
That church was... It was like a few days ago. It was started on fire.
So there are...
And it had Trump... It had Trump writings all over it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's only what? The KKK is down to like a few thousand people and they're irrelevant. I mean, I think they're an awful group. You know,
right.
But,
and that's, you know, it's interesting, Anthony. Thank you. Anthony,
okay.
Even that helps. I mean, just hearing that, honestly, I think we have to start small and go from there. They are an awful group, and I think we can both agree on that. But you would say that not all people who voted for Donald Trump and Donald Trump don't agree with what the KKK says. But to us,
he took too many different states. I mean, the KKK is primarily a southern, you know, outfit.
Actually,
the Midwest. He took the West.
The Midwest has a significant KKK presence.
Really?
Yes.
I was unaware of that. Okay.
Yes, it does. We do. We do have a significant presence. Anthony,
right.
Do you feel like, I mean, I want to continue having this conversation with you, not just tonight, but whenever you want to call in and have, and really, because I do appreciate your input. And I think that you wanted to call and say, give the man a chance. That was what you wanted to say?
Well, I mean, at least, you know what I mean? Honestly, I don't think it could do any worse than what's going on in the country right now, where our police are being attacked for doing their jobs, where, you know, it's just, I think people are just tired of all that, you know? I mean, we used to have a country where we respected each other and did things, and now it's, you know, if you don't feel like being arrested, you can just turn around and go home. I mean, that's just not how it works.
Anthony, we lost Anthony. I wanted to say that the police department and police officers, I think the spotlight is shown when there is an incident incidents like the Laquan McDonald shooting. And that's when, I mean, because tonight there are protesters all over the streets and they are not attacking the police department. And the police department is doing an outstanding job. Our fire department, thank you so much to all of our men and women in uniform who are keeping our streets safe. And thank you to the protesters who are exercising their freedom of speech so far peacefully without any destruction of property, without any violence. So I hope that that continues. More when we come back. Linda, I will take you right. You know what, Linda, I'm going to take you right now because I want to talk to you. Hi, okay. Linda. Linda, how are you doing?
Hi, Patty.
Hi.
I love your show, first of all.
Thank you.
I'm just leaving a bunch of friends. I'm a choir director. We had rehearsal, and we all went out for drinks to debrief about last night.
Right.
And I'll tell you what happened to me. I fell asleep, and about 1 o'clock I woke up, and I saw, you know, what was going on, and I just started crying. I'm going to cry right now.
Linda.
I started crying.
Linda, I've had my moments all day today and last night. My son, I went home this morning and my son was hard to console. There's a lot of work to do, Linda. I think right now that's the only way I can sort of focus. I think because lingering on the idea that there are that many people who are validating some of the ugly things that have been said over the last year is part of it.
Thank you. It's very scary, right?
Yes.
It's horrific that he is in office. I can't even say his name. But not only that, it's horrific that people who heard all of those things and they're saying, give him a chance, give him a chance. He
right.
proved himself for the last 18 months.
Yep.
And we can nitpick and talk about the KKK like that other person or the police department, but it's not that. It's everything across
right.
the board. Everything. So it's just terrifying. That's all. We're all, and you know what? We're Christian people. We're all praying. My mother, I called my mom at 1 o'clock in the morning because I knew she'd be up, and she's a very Christian woman. And she said, Linda, God sees what's going on. Just pray. Just pray about it. You know,
I would say
and
pray. I would.
Through,
yes. Go ahead. You tell me. Go ahead,
no,
Linda.
She lived through World War II.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, remember when we're Italian? And she said, they hung Mussolini upside down. And I said, yeah, but Ma, the Italians and the Europeans had to go through a lot of crap before they figured out that Mussolini was a bad guy, you know? So,
well,
I'm sorry, but that's just how it feels. It feels like reminiscence of World War II again.
I know that when we talk about Donald Trump and whenever anyone makes a comparison to Hitler, people get, you know, they are split on that. And some people get very angry that the comparison is made. I don't think that, I honestly do not believe that Donald Trump is like Hitler. My concern are the people that support the ideology of hate that support him. That's my bigger concern. But
the way I compare him to Hitler is in this way. Hitler started off as a buffoon. People laughed at him. They didn't take him seriously. But he was a sociopath in that he understood what the people needed. They were very disfranchised. They were very unhappy after World War One in Germany. They lost parts of their country. They lost their nationalism. They were hungry. They were poverty stricken. So he knew what to say to them, you know, to rally them around, not to heal them,
right,
to get them. He knew how to manipulate them. And that's what I feel is happening now. People are very angry. They're very upset. I'm very disgusted with so many things. But he's not the answer. He's not our answer.
I know.
You know, change.
I know. This is the answer that a significant part of the population chose. And by the way, not by the popular vote. She is going to win the popular vote. He will have won the most number of electoral votes. Linda,
right.
Linda, thank you. Please call again and continue our conversation. We are here. It's always a safe place to have this conversation, okay?
Thanks, Patty.
Thank
good
you,
night.
Linda. Have a good night. More after this. Coming up in just a little bit, we are going to talk to Dr. Daphne Scott. And Mitch wants to tell us to give Donald Trump a chance. And Dave, we're going to talk to you as well when we come back. Both Mitch and Dave, please hold on the line. Anyone can join the conversation anytime. 312-981-7200. You're listening Pretty Late, and I'm Patty Vasquez. Joining me in studio is Michael Silver. And coming up after the news, we're going to continue to take phone calls. Michael, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very well. Did you?
I was out there for a bit, yeah.
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 Protesters in the downtown area, trying to get as close as possible to Trump Tower. I want to thank our listeners that are holding on the line. I do have to go to the news. Topher and Mitch, I will get to your calls. If you are listening Pretty Late, I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It is still Wednesday night, November 9th. Joining me is Michael Silver.
Hello.
He is an artist, a physicist. Is there some scientific way to describe it, explain what happened? We'll work on that for me.
Yeah, I'll come up with a word. I'll write it into you, and maybe we'll start using that.
I'm going to need some sort of an equation that results in this. Mm-hmm. We have listeners that are joining the conversation, and we encourage you to do so. This is a conversation for everyone, whether you are celebrating, whether you are in despair, or you want to wait and see. For example, Mitch wanted to join the conversation. Mitch, what do you think?
Hello, how are you? You got a good show.
Thank you,
sir. First of all, I want to tell you I get a good signal in my truck. I'm down here in Savannah, Georgia.
Hey!
Whoa!
Hello, Savannah. Where are you driving from? Where are you hauling from into?
I'm just hauling mail and everything from Savannah to Macon.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for the work.
I'm from Chicago. I still got rental property there. But to Trump, I'm not a Trump supporter. However, I'm going to, you know, see what happens and everything. And I'm willing to give him a chance or what have you, because we do have to come together. I don't remember nobody protesting when President Obama took office. I don't remember that nobody was protesting in the street like they're doing. And once again, I'm not a Trump supporter. However, what's done is done now, and I think we need to come together, and we'll have enough. We'll deal with 4 years later if the man doesn't stand up and bring people together.
And
I'm willing to give him a chance. I'm willing to give him a chance. And everything.
Mitch, I appreciate that, and I encourage a lot of people to take whatever perspective puts them someplace that makes this understandable, I guess. Right, Michael?
I actually completely agree with you that we do need to give him a chance, and I think right now the protests aren't about not giving him a chance. They're just very upset. And this is also, I think, really important on an international level to show the other countries that no, you can't, don't generalize the entire United States, because we weren't all Trump supporters. So just like a lot of people don't read the news here internationally, I don't check out what's going in London ever. So I don't expect them
I don't expect
them to check out the numbers of our election. But the fact that these protests will hit the news allows the world to see, okay, not all Americans were okay with that. And I think internationally it's good. It's a very good sign. But I do believe, talking with a lot of these people, we're willing to give them a chance. We just want to express.
That's a good point. I never thought of it that way about them looking over, because I was about to say that the protesters, I don't understand why they're wasting their time, but they're not. Now that you say it that way, I never thought about it that way. I'm glad you gave me that perspective. So, yeah, you're right. Okay.
Thanks for calling. It's just, it's also. People grieve in different ways, and I think they're going to wake up, and then they're going to – I mean, a lot of us have talked about it here in Chicago. People want him to do well. Yeah. We all love this country so much. We want everything to thrive. Yeah. Oh,
you're right.
Thank you so much.
Wow, thank you for everything, Mitch.
Yes, thank you.
No problem.
Mitch.
Y'all have a good night.
No, Mitch. Hold on, Mitch. Don't you go anywhere. Do me a favor. Okay. Please hold on. I want you to do a little online shopping at Electronics. We're going to send you a gift card. And so Craig's going to take your information. You know, get something you need for the rig, whatever. You know, just thank you so much for joining the conversation. You really have helped us a lot. And I look forward to hearing you call us again. All right,
no
Mitch.
Problem at all.
Thank you so much. Have a lovely evening. And we also have on the line with us, Topher wanted to join us. Hey, Topher, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for having me on. This is the first time I caught your show. So I'll tell you, it's a complete fresh breath of fresh air to hear you guys allow both sides come on, respect both sides. You just don't get that in talk radio at all. On either side, it's one side bashing the other, it seems. So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
The two things I would say, one is I felt like the left side that is so scared of Trump right now, hopefully they can understand and maybe emphasize a little bit with the people that voted for Romney and that had some of those same worries and feelings about Obama last election. But I think that's a weird disconnect. I don't know why. How the country has gotten so far wide apart on each other, of the right side is so scared of Democrats getting elected, and then the left side is so scared of certain Republicans getting it. It just seems like there's this such wide divide there.
Topher, did it seem like people were more afraid of Hillary Clinton than they were when President Obama was running? It seems to me as though they were more
wary. Very.
Oh, I would say more than wary.
I think with Obama, they were nervous about some of the unknown and that some of the things that came out made them nervous. With Hillary, I think a lot of people felt like they knew exactly what they were getting. And that, and they did not want that on the other side. But I think part of it, and actually what I called in, I was talking to some people, and overall, Americans in general do not trust politicians, and they do not trust the media. And I felt like, and I was hearing a lot of people say too, the media was, a lot of people felt like the media is left slanted, and as soon as some of those comments that Trump made came out, he was getting, I mean, that was all over the media, but things that Hillary had said or done weren't being played in the media. And so I kind of looked at it as like when I was growing up, my older sister could push my buttons and she could tell me what to do, and I would do the exact opposite to spite her.
Sure.
And so I felt like a lot of voters on the Trump side almost had that they don't trust the media, they don't trust politicians, and even when some of the Republicans started jumping away from Trump and putting Trump down, I think there was a lot of voters that were like, I don't trust the politicians, I don't trust the media, so I'm going to vote for who you're not wanting me to vote for because I don't trust you.
Right.
And so I think there's a handful of that, too.
Yeah, I think that that's a good word to use. We our trust is shaken in each other, mm-hmm. in the government, and I've said this and I will say this over and over again. There's a lot of work to do, and I don't mean just like manually. I mean on ourselves. What do we want? What do you, you know? Today I sent an email to somebody that I had parted ways with in a very negative, I mean like an awful bitter battle, and I knew that he was struggling today and having a tough time, and I mean we parted, but I wanted to send him something positive, not only to make him feel better, but it made me feel better to take that off my chest. Of all the things that I have to do, I didn't want that negative energy being one more thing I had to deal with because I have so many other things to do. I wanted to work on myself emotionally, and that, I know it sounds corny and touchy-feely, but you know what? What can you do? What change can you make? And that is that small or big, I think it all makes a difference right now. Mitch, I'm going
to... I think so many people need to realize that we hold the own control of our future. It's really not the one person in the White House, and so many of the things that change for us are actually more on that local scale.
Yes.
Yeah. Topher, I so appreciate you calling in and joining our conversation. I look forward to hearing you. Please call again because we're gonna keep talking. We are gonna work together. That's the bigger goal. Have a good evening. Thanks, Topher. Thank you, Rich. Laura, I have to we have to go, and I'm gonna take Brandon Weatherby right after this. So I don't know if you guys want to call back. We're gonna take more calls at 12:30. So Laura, Rich, thank you so much for calling. Rich wanted to say doesn't get what you. What does, oh, why the population vote? Oh, you can win the. Oh, you know, we'll take.
That's a good one.
All right, here, Rich, go ahead. I think that. Go ahead, Craig. We'll take Rich real quick. I think. Do you want to explain why people can win the popular vote and not win the Electoral College? Go ahead.
Hi, Michael. Oh, yeah. So if that's just the question at hand, the popular vote is simply based on exactly what it sounds like, the number of people voting and which side they voted on. The Electoral College doesn't run based on that. It runs on what areas vote. And it assigns a number of votes per state to that state.
That have smaller populations.
Yeah, that have smaller populations. And there were reasons behind it. Some of the pros were it allowed the entire populace, even no matter how small your state, kind of to get this, at least some representation instead of all the cities running it. You need farmers being represented.
Had it just been the cities, this would have been different. Right.
Exactly.
It's why it goes so wildly. We're going to talk more about the Electoral College at 12:30 because Brandon Weatherby's on hold now.
Sorry,
when I get to him.
We'll get to that.
Well, we're going to talk pro wrestling and the election. More after this on 720.
So much in common.
I know. Just wait. Brandon Weatherby is on the line with us on Monday night. He returns to wrap up his, not wrap up. We'll continue having this conversation, Brandon. How are you doing tonight?
I'm alive. How are you?
You're alive. Was there any doubt?
Once again, I'm a straight white man in America, so I'm fine no matter what. Other people might not be, but we'll see how that shakes out.
You told me, well, first of all, let's talk a little bit about your book, Donald Trump is a Wrestler.
Yeah, I didn't think it would have a shelf life that's this long. But yeah.
the wrestling match continues, yes?
Yeah, I thought this would be over as of right now, but no. My book has a fantastic shelf life, and it's applicable for the next 4 years. It explains how Donald Trump used wrestling tropes to win the presidency. And that's a thing we're all saying out loud because that's the reality of which we live.
So those tropes being Hillary is the face and Donald Trump is the heel, correct?
Yes, exactly. And for the first time, early this morning or late last night, however you want to look at it, he started his pivot. He started his face turn. And I think that's a really good thing for the country. What that means is he said, I want everyone's help. This is not just me anymore. It's the whole country. And that's actually a really good sentiment. And that's exactly what you want from a face. That's what you want John Cena to say.
Have there been heels that have successfully become faces?
Oh, I mean, if you hopefully you want that. That means everyone likes him and he's positive and there's a future. And it's not just about one individual. It's about the entire country or the entire company in wrestling terms. So really quick, before we go any further, I just want to say that what you're doing and what everyone else on WGN Radio that's doing, that is taking call-in shows, is incredibly brave and helpful. And I don't think enough people are appreciating that. Because you've had a lot of callers tonight, some pro and some con, and you're able to talk to them in a way that most news networks aren't. And good job. Kudos. Keep it up. Is that too much? Am I just kissing the throne too much? Kissing the ring too much?
Tell him how I feel about that, Michael.
I mean, she's throwing me eyes like, oh, my gosh, I don't know how to take this. This is wonderful. Thank you. Like,
yeah,
it's wonderful.
I told my bosses this morning when they emailed me to thank me for the way we handled the coverage last night that I understand the magnitude of this moment in history. And I understand how important this is, how afraid some people are, and how relieved others are, and how confused some people are. And I don't want this to be a place where people have been angry, I think, at some of the hosts at various times.
Look, you included.
Me, I've been called the C word, and
yeah.
I should go crawl in a hole and die. And you know what? And I told Michael this, you keep showing up. Everyone has to keep showing up. So thank you. Thank you, Brandon. I appreciate our callers tonight have been incredibly respectful. So I think it goes both ways. I think that people, yes.
Yeah, that's a good sign. I know we need to look at some silver linings here. Almost the majority of voters wanted this to happen. So to pretend that this is a giant funeral is not helpful. Yeah. And that being said, there's absolutely nothing wrong with a peaceful protest, which is happening right now in both Washington, D.C. and Chicago.
Yeah.
Correct.
And that's okay. That's incredibly healthy. It's important to get out there. Things didn't go your way. Oh, well. You know, that's kind of how you got to look at it. That being said, I do not think this is a good thing, but that's okay.
I have a question about your book. Is there in your book, do you cover, like, in the drama of the wrestling world, what happens next? Is there a next wrestling move or
yes, because his prediction, Brandon Weatherby's prediction,
uh-huh,
was that this would be a dusty finish.
Uh-huh, yes, yeah.
Correct?
That didn't, exactly, and that did not happen.
No.
We're both very surprised. And I feel very dumb because my co-author and I, Chris Kelly, realized only this morning, we underestimated the exact same population that loves professional wrestling, and that includes us. So many people, when you don't tell people you're a fan of professional wrestling, because people go, well, don't you know it's fake, or that's not real. It doesn't matter. We understand that. Those are all the same people that voted for Trump, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. And guess what? A lot of Clinton fans are wrestling fans, too. You know who Jon Stewart is? Big wrestling fan. He participates in the WWE every year.
Radio show host Nick DiGilio, big wrestling fan.
Exactly. So that's the thing about this. It's a bipartisan issue, and our book is actually apolitical. We do not have an agenda in the book. We're just trying to explain how this happened and why it happened and how he was able to connect with people in a way that Hillary Clinton couldn't. The most important thing to take away from all of this in terms of the wrestling analogy isn't so much the business dealings, but it's definitely he was able to connect with a message. Be it true or fake, it doesn't matter. He was able to connect with a crowd that Hillary could never do.
Mm-hmm.
President Barack Obama was able to connect with a crowd with a message. No one knows Hillary's message because she didn't really have a message. And that's not good. You can't be a hero in wrestling. Well, she portrayed that. She was the face. She didn't have the thing for people to grasp onto.
Mm-hmm.
I have to agree with you on that.
And yeah, that's really disappointing. And that's definitely a Democratic problem. I don't think Bernie Sanders hit it either. I think the entire Democratic bench has completely been depleted. And they have no one right now. And Michelle Obama has no plans in running in 2020, so pick somebody new.
Democratic Party's going to go and figure things out. I mean, they know.
Trying to fill that bench.
They're hurting, and they know it, and they're going to step back.
Brandon Weatherby, so now what happens is we're going to have you on every month to see how this wrestling business is going, and as things arise, perhaps more often. But I think that that's where we go from here. That's
I don't think I said I'm very grateful to be on your show, and I appreciate it. And what you and Craig and what Esmeralda does, I think it's underrated and underappreciated. And for anyone that's like wondering what's going to happen next, you have no idea. Because I don't know if you guys know this, but the president-elect at one point supported Planned Parenthood and was against the Iraq War and was a Democrat. So to pretend that we have any idea of what's going to happen next is kind of foolish at this point. He's exactly like a great wrestler. You don't know if he's going to be a heel or a face in the next bout. It's wonderful and scary at the exact same time.
Well, we will continue to follow this journey, and Brandon's going to be a part of that. And we are so grateful that you were here. Thank you so much, Brandon. We'll take care. We love you. We love what you do, and really, you've added a lot to the conversation. I'm glad that we started talking about this. Thank you.
Everyone be safe. There's going to be a tomorrow.
Yeah.
Exactly. Big hugs. Brandon Weatherby, we want to know where to find this book, Donald Trump is a Wrestler. Brandon, where do we go find this book?
Go to DonaldTrumpIsAWrestler.com, which is a real URL.
It's a real URL. And how about your podcast? We're still doing your podcast?
Yeah, just go to the website, go to Donald Trump as a Wrestler. There's a podcast. It's called The Great American Bash. I actually interviewed Nate Silver, thanks to you guys, when I cover the RNC, and we talked every night. I interviewed Nate Silver, and we talked about this quickly and completely dismissed the idea of polling people based on the WWE, and look how that turned out.
Brandon, thank you so much for writing this, for joining our show, and we so look forward to tracking this and seeing how it all plays out in a good way.
It'll be exciting.
Let's say that. Brandon, be safe, and we will talk to you again soon.
You too. Thank you.
Again, go to DonaldTrumpIsAWrestler.com. That is a URL. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I don't have time for bump music, mostly because I forgot to do it. You're listening Pretty Late, and joining us in studio is artist and physicist. That's your title, artist and physicist.
Sure.
Michael Silver.
Yeah.
And he's here because he's talking a lot of sense into me, and I'm enjoying it immensely. Also joining us are the folks from Agency Theater. They are going to talk about their production of Chagrin Falls, which is getting rave reviews, and I must go see it. Joining us is Summer Austin, Mia, I forgot to get your last name, and Rob, also same. How are you doing?
All right.
I'm sure that I know that James sent me info, and things have been a little bit sideways today, as you can imagine. Yeah. I didn't do any show prep because I was running up and down the streets of Chicago following the protesters. So I apologize for not being better prepared, but I did see that your production is James has been hounding me for a couple weeks, and I was like, okay, this World Series thing has got me a little thing, and then like there was this election.
When was that?
I know, it's so hard to remember.
A couple things have been happening.
Yes.
So
okay. That's no excuse for being able to get to your production sooner. So thank you so much for being patient.
Thank you for having us.
I appreciate it. Hi Rob, what's your last name?
Kuhn.
Hello. We've met before, haven't we?
We have
met before.
Yes.
I apologize. And Mia, you said we met each other at Jack's.
At Jack's, at an open mic. McCullough is my last name.
Hi, Mia McCullough.
Nice ring to that.
Doesn't it, though? Mia McCullough.
I like.
Yeah. you're just going to go with I like.
I like.
And Summer Austin also is like Rob Kuhn, Mia McCullough, and Summer Austin. Tell us a little bit about Chagrin Falls. Who wants to go?
I'll go. It's a play that I actually wrote in the 90s when I was working at the Lincoln Park Zoo, and I had to, as a keeper, and I had to occasionally kill mice, but with my own hands, because there are certain animals.
I had to do that once. I'll tell you later if it gets to that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There are certain animals that have to eat live feet or, you know, freshly killed things. And it really started to affect me, even though they're just these little mice. I started to feel like, oh, this is leaving a stain on my soul every time I kill one of these mice. And so I started to think about people who have to, like, kill cows and pigs and chickens for a living.
Okay.
And then started to think about the people, like, soldiers and people who work on death row and have to, you know, administer the death penalty. And I was like, God, there's a lot of people in this country who do a lot of killing, and most of us don't. And so I decided to write a play that is a town full of people who do the killing for the rest of us.
I'm sorry. I'm speechless because that sounds amazing, and I think that everyone should go see this, just based on just even the explanation of how you thought of this, and because listening to an artist explain where an idea sort of grows and becomes this project, thank you so much for sharing it
of
that
course.
Way. And Summer, are you performing in Chagrin Falls?
I am actually directing.
You're
Chagrin
directing?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
And how is it? Okay, and Rob, your position?
Performing.
You're performing?
I'm actually playing one of the people who's been spending 30 years killing cows and pigs and chickens.
And, has
with a suitably stained soul as a result.
And Summer, what is it like directing somebody who has a suitably stained soul?
Well, I mean, it's a beautiful play. I love this play, and it's different because Mia and I met in a stand-up comedy class. So we've only worked on comedy projects up until now, but there are some really good laughs in this play, I must say.
It's true. There's a lot of humor, and I mean, there's some humor in the script, but then the cast has also found an incredible amount of humor just in how they're walking through the world.
That's been helpful.
The darkness of everything kind of leads us to that, to find that a little bit of release sometimes.
Yes. You have to have it.
And humorous, I find, are sometimes and actually quite often the darker souls.
Yeah.
You know, they have to, the reason that we resort to humor, and I mentioned this last night, is that we're often trying to soothe our own wounds by entertaining others, or actually just, or trying to find some answers too. And this sounds, again, it sounds like a remarkable production. And tell us, where is the production up? Where are you guys running?
So it runs at the Den Theater, which is on Milwaukee, so 1333 North Milwaukee. And I love this venue. It's great. It's just so many, there's so many great theater companies, and there's 7 theaters in that building. So there's just a lot of cross traffic and a lot of artists there. So
some of the most comfortable lobby space.
Isn't it though?
Yes.
And a
great bar.
Great bar. Yeah, Nina's our favorite bartender over at the Den.
She's lovely.
Which theater, which space are you in?
We're in the 2A space.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's on the 2nd floor, and if you go right past the bar, it's through that little doorway, and it's that first space there. So it's 40 seats, so it's nice and intimate space, so everyone gets a really good view.
You get to feel like you're actually sitting there in Irene's bar.
There you go. Is that where everything takes place, is in Irene's bar?
Primarily, yes. It's all in the bar.
Yeah, I'm guessing if people are doing the killing, they're doing a lot of drinking.
They are.
Drinking.
Especially Rob's character. Yes.
A lot. Yeah. It's a lot.
I'm so glad for scenes that I'm not on stage when I can hit the restroom.
Because my goodness. So yeah,
no, not that I'm drinking a lot, but there are camels saying, "Man, you gotta back off."
I know.
He's committed to the character.
Everyone's wondering how drunk Rob actually gets.
Yeah, that was my son's question after he came to see the show. He's like, "Was he drunk?" And then I had to teach him about stage liquor.
That's right. So all the action takes place in the there's a woman who runs a motel, and it's the bar that's attached to the motel. It's Irene's motel and bar, Delford's bar. And the only two industries in this town, fictional town of Chagrin Falls, Oklahoma. So it's set in 1999. The only two industries in town are a federal prison where they do lethal injections and a slaughterhouse. And so these are the two industries in town, and the action of the play takes place when everyone, many people are in town for a lethal injection that's about to happen. And so we're also seeing the characters in this town who hang out at Irene's bar. So
sounds like incredible storytelling. I know. You and I we're all in, aren't we?
Yeah. What kind of prep did you do? Because you had this concept and this idea, but what did you either research in our real world, or how did you actually develop the script and the full story?
Well, I am a big believer in not doing a lot of research up front.
Cool.
I start with my characters. Honestly, the first image of this play was at the beginning of Act 2 was Rob's character standing on top of a bar holding the face of this stuffed cow head that he's just peering into its eyes in this moment of drunken torment. So honestly, that was sort of the genesis moment, and I just said, my first questions were, okay, who is this dude, and why is he standing on this bar, and why is he staring at this cow's head? And so I kind of went from there, and I made a lot of stuff up that I didn't know, and then when I get to a point where I kind of have a skeletal draft, and then I go dig on the internet and find out things. And honestly, the internet solved a lot of problems for me.
I know. I just Googled Chagrin Falls, and it's a town in Ohio.
In fact, I referenced this last night. The last guy who directed my play was talking about how despondent he was about the election, and I said something about Chagrin Falls, and somebody who's from Chagrin Falls, Ohio, got really offended about it, you know, because I said, well, everyone in Chagrin Falls, Oklahoma, the fictional town, probably voted for Trump if they were still alive today, you know, that's because, you know, they're those people. They're from that red state, you know, they're disenfranchised. The government doesn't care about them, yet makes them do all the dirty work. And, you know, and so I said this, and somebody from Chagrin Falls, Ohio, was just like, I take offense at that. I'm like, I'm not talking about you, honey.
Yeah. And that's kind of where we are, is we need to lower our guard a little bit. We all have our emotional dukes up. Mm-hmm. And when someone, and that's on both sides. That's me included.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm struggling with that. I'm coping with it. And again, when you mentioned Chagrin Falls, everything can't be an attack. And even when you said those people, I know someone heard, oh, are we those people?
Exactly. Yeah.
It was. Right. It's an article of. It's the mm-hmm. it's used to identify. It's not used to denigrate.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If you hear the emphasis on those rather than a description of the rest of the sentence, you are blocked from hearing anything else.
Well, mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've been thinking about today is a lot of my progressive friends are on Facebook talking about how angry they are and how filled with hate they are.
Yes.
And then how upset they are with themselves for mm-hmm. being filled with hate.
Chagrin is a good word also, because that's today for a lot of people.
Yeah.
There's
mm-hmm.
embarrassment and there's anger, and it's everything mixed together.
I'm so chagrined.
Right.
And so chagrined.
Yes. And so I think for a lot of progressives, the people who voted for Trump are this sort of faceless mass of people that they can be angry with and not have a person attached to it. And, you know, if you do come and see Chagrin Falls, like, I think all of a sudden you'll have faces mm-hmm. and you'll actually really have a lot of compassion for these people and love them. I mean, that's one of the things that I suddenly, like, one of the reasons I'm so glad that Summer agreed to do this play is that it hasn't been done in 15 years, and I missed these characters so mm-hmm. desperately, because they're just kind, well-meaning, sweet, tormented people, and I love getting to spend time with them. And I think that people who come to see the play will feel attached to them in that same way. I mean, especially oh, yeah. Henry, who just breaks your heart by the end of the play.
Well, let's find out what Rob's character does. Is that what's the name of the character that you play?
The name of the character I play is Riley McDougal.
McDougal is another good name. It's just fun. You have to say it that
I
way.
Know.
McDougal.
That's great.
It's not really well done.
We can't say it like McDougal.
Oh, McDougal. Ooh. All right.
Because we're in Oklahoma.
Oh, that's. I apologize. I will not make that mistake
no,
again.
And Riley has just the week before retired after 30 years of working at the slaughterhouse.
Congratulations.
And then, is it when we come back? I want to find out how you prepare for that, but also, you know, when you retire, you know, when you are exhausted, you've been doing something all day, and it's not until you stop that it all kind of soaks in. I want to see if there's a comparison to that. When we come back on 720 WGN, we are talking to the director, writer, and one of the performers of Chagrin Falls, which is at the Den Theater. What are the dates through December? I know
December 11th. We just got extended.
Congratulations
Thank
on
you.
That. We'll have more information on where you can get tickets. Do you have a website?
We sure do. It's weartheagency.org.
Weartheagency.org. And this is, you know, I think we're going to do a field trip. We need to do it pretty late. Let's all go see Chagrin Falls together. And like a play group. Not a play group, but a group that goes to see play. You know,
an artist group?
Like a book
group. Oh, book club.
Oh, yeah. Play club.
Play club.
No, that doesn't work.
No.
We'll come after this. We'll work on it. 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate. Again, I don't have time for bumps. We have conversations to get to. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining us is Summer Austin, the director of Mia McCullough's play, Chagrin Falls, and Rob Kuhn, who's one of the performers. He's portraying an actor. By the way, Michael Silver also joining us, riding sidecar tonight. Rob, your character retires after 30 years of slaughtering pigs and cows. Did you do any research to prepare for that?
Well, go and you look up the procedure
yes.
of the operation of a slaughterhouse. So when he refers to the different areas, there's actually something that's in mind.
Sure.
But my first summer home from college, I had a friend who did custom steaks.
Okay.
So I would help him cut. So I spent, you know, a summer cutting meat.
Right.
And so get used to the idea of handling it. And
well, the first time you did, what was that like? Do you remember sort of embarking on that?
I remember being very cold, because they keep everything really cold.
Sure.
Meat is easier to cut when it's frozen or very, very cold.
Okay.
And getting to, you know, having to be able to cut precise sizes and doing the packaging. And it was working in a very cold room. Yeah, which is with very sharp knives, so you could cut yourself, and, you know, fairly significantly, and never know.
Oh no, right? Because
you start
you're numb.
All over the place.
Did you have that experience?
I did.
You sound like as though yes.
Oh yeah.
And I was mentioning before the break, you know, and I know it's a weird comparison, it's nothing the same, but is it the idea that after 30 years of doing the same job that your character does, which is slaughtering animals, is it when he stops that things sort of change for him?
Yeah, a lot of things have suddenly stopped for Riley. In the 2 months previous, he's also lost his wife.
Oh.
So when his job goes away, then he's just left there with his life. Mm-hmm. He's a Vietnam veteran, and so a lot of the things that he's put away to have a family, to have a job, to put away, and all of the work that he's been doing, all the activity he's been engaged in, kind of keeps the lid on the box.
Right.
And then the lid comes off the box.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you start to deal with these things that you've been sitting on for 30 years?
Right, you start pulling that thread mm-hmm. and sorting through all that. Wow. Mm-hmm. And how many characters are in Chagrin Falls?
I think it's just six. There used to be one more, so I forget.
Did they get slaughtered?
Yeah. Slowly disappeared.
It felt like that a little bit when I cut her out of the play. I was sort of traumatized.
Yeah, is Jonas seven or is that six?
Yeah, Jonas.
Yeah, I guess Jonas
okay.
is seven.
Yeah. So there's six.
Yeah.
And this is a production of Chagrin Falls, which is at the Den Theater running through December 11th. And the website to buy tickets is weareagencytheater.org.
www.weareagency.org.
Oh, weareagency.org. I should write things down. I really, Michael, couldn't.
Hey, just give me a pen. Okay. I'll just hold them up.
Exactly, to show me all the information. Again, this is at the Den Theater on Milwaukee Avenue.
That's right.
A great venue for, it's multi, there's seven theaters in the building?
Yeah, seven in that space, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is an intimate play with 40 people. And I've just invited Craig. We're booking them for the wrap party on December 12th.
Yay.
And we will make sure that you have some food and drinks, because what happens over the course of a run are little things that happen that you don't necessarily, like, you sort of remember them, but you don't tell each other about them every single production, every, you know, performance.
That'll be great. It's a difficult play for these actors to do every night. You know, it's like hard stuff. So I think it'll be really great to have.
It's a debriefing. It's an on-air debriefing.
It's a shot and a beer after it. All right.
Everybody is grateful that there's a bar at the Den, both audience and actors alike.
Mm-hmm. And when you were creating this play, how did you, you know, sort of craft each character? What did you want to imbue them with? I guess is you know, are there voices that you? I mean, I know you wrote this quite a while ago, mm-hmm. and were set. Okay, let's go back to your original idea, which was because you had worked at Lincoln Park Zoo and you had to perform a task that became very difficult for you, which was having to kill mice
by hand. Yeah.
Right. So I mean, because there is a function that in so many parts of our country, something has to be killed in order for, you know, whether it's, as you mentioned, for food consumption, or we have the death penalty in various parts of the country and someone has to do that job. And
or
not
war.
Just. Or war. Mm-hmm. There are men and women who are trained as lethal weapons. So, you know, really we've asked somebody to take on this job that most of us can't or won't do, whether it's serving in the military or, you know, I couldn't seek out. Do you find that people who in the slaughterhouses, I mean, it's because it's in the community. That's what you have in Chagrin Falls. This is the only way for people to make money is the prison or the slaughterhouse.
Or the slaughterhouse. So, you know, the Reverend says at one point that he feels like everybody in town is suffering from clinical depression, which I think is true from a lot of these towns. I mean, in some ways, having a prison in a town is a boon because it employs so many people, but it's not an uplifting place to go to work every day. But to sort of answer your previous question, you know, like I had so many issues swirling around in my head,
right.
And I wanted to sort of show different perspectives on the death penalty without being didactic. And so it was, you know, the challenge in that is to...
Could you Google didactic for me or tell me later? You tell me later. Thank you for sharing.
The challenge in that is really creating characters who are so full and just happen to have, for very good reasons, these particular opinions that maybe come out throughout the throughout the course of the play without lecturing us or, you know, hitting us over the head with them. That is just part of their experience and how they feel about it.
Before we go, and again, the writer Mia McCullough of Chagrin Falls, director Summer Austin, one of the actors in the play, Rob Kuhn, are going to join us again, or, you know, various people in addition from the play Chagrin Falls on December 12th from midnight to 1 a.m., if that works for everybody. Yeah. Before we go, what do you want people to know? What is the one thing that you would want people to know about this production, Rob?
It's The play offers you this wonderful opportunity to be connected to something that we remove ourselves from. Mm-hmm. As we talk about, we don't kill our own food. We don't we read about these things that happen in the paper, but we're removed from it, and that's an element of privilege that we have. But there's a way to connect outside of the world, the little bubble that we live in, and I think that's generally what theater allows you to do, is it allows you to get to know people that you don't run across every day. Mm-hmm. The theater critic Howard Sherman had a piece online today, and he was talking about, this is why I go to theater. I go to theater because I connect to this part of the world. I meet these people. I experience part of their lives in a way that I wouldn't otherwise. So that would be the one thing that I would want people to come and take out of Chagrin Falls, is that there are these wonderful people there, and they do very ugly jobs.
Mia?
You know, I think part of it for me is that even though this play was written 20 years ago, the death penalty is still on the table in so many states. Mm-hmm. And it's not about whether or not the death penalty is right or wrong. That is not what the play is about. It is very much about what it does to the people who have to carry it out. It has nothing to do with guilt or exoneration or any of those things. It's just the effects on the people who have to do it. And I think it's just a different perspective and something important to think about when you're thinking, oh, yeah, we do still kill people all the time. And federally, it's still on the books.
Right. Summer?
Well, I think one thing is that in order to get through our lives as human beings, it's tough. We have to compartmentalize a lot. And I think that this play asks us the hard questions and forces us to kind of decompartmentalize all the things that we have to put, as you said, like put a lid on something or put it in a box and put it away to not look at it. I think that especially right now, it's feeling very timely. This will be the first, you know, this will be the first weekend after this election has been decided. But I also think it's just really important to be in a room with people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
absolutely.
Like right now, that's what I'm craving. That's what I want this weekend, is just to get in a room with people and go on this journey, meet these people, and just and explore this story together.
I look forward to seeing you guys on December 12th for our wrap party, but everyone should go see the production of Chagrin Falls. Go to
WeAreTheAgency.org.
WeAreTheAgency.org. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is artist, quantum physicist, Michael Silver.
Hello, everyone.
Also joining us is comedian and friend of the show. I should have gone the other way. Do you feel like I shouldn't have had you go after? Kevin Naughton is also live in the Allstate Showcase studio. He every second Monday of the month?
Second Monday of the month, we're doing snapshots down at Zany's, North Avenue and Wells, 8:30 show.
Snapshots.
Yeah, snapshots. Just people can, you know, people don't realize how much anger there is in comedy, and it's enjoyable.
Well, interesting point, because I, four times last night, someone said to me, well, having Donald Trump as your president for the next 4 years has got to be a dream come true for comedians. And I could not disagree with that more. Mm-hmm. I don't wish, I mean, especially for the amount of people who are in pain tonight, who are confused and scared, I wouldn't mm-hmm. wish, I don't wish that on anybody. I also think that many of us work from a place of healing. We want to heal ourselves. We have our own internal wounds or demons or things going on, yeah. Seeking the approval of audiences or wanting to hear people laugh. We enjoy that. So what I told people last night is that, you know, you are not alone. And that's something I want people to remember. I know a lot of people feel isolated today.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting.
Philip, I'm going to get to you in just 1 second because I'm like, Kevin, go ahead.
Well, when you said what you said, it reminded me of hecklers who come to our shows, and then after they say something foolish, mm-hmm. you know, like anything.
any sound you hear that is not Kevin's voice is not...
I'll take that. Yeah. Sure. It's not true, but I'll take that.
But anyone chiming in? Anyone chiming in during your show?
Anybody jumping on you, right? Mm-hmm. I always look at it like, you know, we don't, when you talk about Trump... now it's at least 4 years of comedic material. You know, I got to say this, and I can't speak for every comic. We don't need that kind of help, okay?
Yeah.
We really don't need that kind. We go home and we sit down and we create things, and there's enough going on in this crazy world. We don't need to add any more to it, but We just did.
Yes.
We just did.
And you came in through the protesters? Did you have any trouble coming downtown?
I did not. No.
Yeah,
it's
very peaceful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just marching.
They disperse north.
Around
I saw
around.
Them marching north, and
Philip had wanted to join the conversation and had a comment about the protests. Hi, Philip. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Great. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm just kind of curious as the last election with Obama, the last two were very divisive. Country 50-50. I don't remember any kind of Republicans crying and protesting on the streets.
They did buy a lot of guns. There was a huge run on guns. But, no, I agree. There was not.
That's different than illegal activity.
Absolutely.
That's sort of protest.
Yes, I agree.
I would also say that I think as a Trump supporter up here in northern Minnesota, I think most of us are more happy about the media beatdown you guys received.
You guys. So you're saying hold on a second. When you say that, I'm sorry, when you use the word beatdown and then you guys, you're saying that you're happy that I got beat down.
I'm saying the media totally missed it. And
missed what?
missed what?
Yeah, no, no. Are you talking about specifically him actually getting elected? I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page.
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
There was every poll had, 10 days ago, Hillary was, going to have a landslide. I'm sure you guys remember that.
That's true.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know.
It was not landslide.
It's constantly changing. It went anywhere from 3 points to 11 points.
Yeah, now
Philip. No, I'm being respectful of you, so if you could give me an opportunity and do the same, I would appreciate it. Okay?
Sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you. No, I just wanted to say that it did vary, and I think that you're right. It was definitely – people were convinced that she was going to win. You're absolutely right about that.
Okay.
Yes, I agree with that. Yes,
right.
Sir?
Now, the other thing that you brought up, though, was the past elections and Republicans not crying and all this other stuff.
Not protesting. He was
not protesting and not crying, I believe.
Okay.
So I would say that –
Oh, I think there are people crying.
They are now.
No, there were.
With Obama?
Republicans weren't crying when Obama won. We wanted him to succeed totally.
Oh, good.
At least
I think that's fair. Oh, we want Donald Trump to succeed, believe me.
I think the tears, partly, let's be real, this was the most contentious, divisive campaign we've seen in my lifetime. And I think some of this tension, now that the voting has been cast, some of it's tension crying. Some of it's upset crying, right? And then other things are Obama never spoke such words that incited fear, and some of it is fear crying. So I think there's different types of crying.
Okay, now you guys are projecting. How do you know that it's fear?
Well, that's a discussion I want you to be able to tell me now with the Obama stuff. Do you think there was that amount of fear that you see from the Democrats? Do you think there was that amount of fear last election?
Who is responsible for their own fear?
A person, but it's reacting to a stimulus, right? And that stimulus was the literal words and sentences that were spoken.
And somehow this did not apply to Bill Clinton when he was doing in his Oval Office
Now we're talking about election, right? So that's different. If we focus on the election of Bill Clinton, that wasn't a case at all.
You know, and we're also talking about fear. I don't think that it's the same thing to compare what Donald Trump may have said about certain parts of the population, certain groups, and then what happened in the Oval Office.
Infidelity, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are different conversations.
So, but you guys were just commenting on his statements about women.
I never said women. I just said fear,
fear
in general.
Many things that he said.
Yeah,
about...
Actually, unfortunately, Philip, you could pick women. You could pick a few different ethnic groups. There's a lot of different comments.
Religious groups,
made, yeah.
Yes.
How about, I understand. I think people that voted for Trump want us to unite. I don't know what you guys think.
We do. Everyone does. And I think that the leaders of the Democratic Party, Obama, everyone said, we want the best for this country, and we are uniting behind Donald Trump right now.
And Donald Trump said that he cannot do this alone.
Exactly.
It
was
everybody.
His statements.
And I agree that I heard Clinton's speech and Trump's speech and Obama's speech, and I thought they were all graceful.
There you go.
I thought so, too.
I agree.
I really did.
That's what I would like. Yeah. I think if we can all go forward with grace, I think that's, I think, a noble goal, don't you think, Philip?
It is.
Right on.
Yes. There we go. See,
agreed. And I think peaceful protesting is graceful, and I think it's part of these people who disagree coming around.
But is it really peaceful at this point?
It's what? Sorry?
Is it really peaceful at this point?
Yes.
I mean, here in Chicago, definitely. Yeah. I mean, we witnessed it. We're here.
Okay. Yeah, they're hanging out at Wacker and Wabash.
And so don't let, unless we get articles from other cities, here in Chicago, it's very peaceful. And it's a community that's mourning together and protesting together and moving forward to build this amazing next 4 years together.
Yep.
Why do you say that word mourning?
Well, people are upset. You said crying, right? They're mourning their loss of what they expected of this next 4 years of future.
Yes.
They lost an image yesterday, right? They lost an image of the next 4 years, and they're mourning the loss of that image. They're mourning the loss of some of those expectations.
Do you think there'll be healing in that mourning process?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why.
That's part of the mourning process. Right?
Yeah.
Next morning, you'll be healing.
Yeah, there's different stages of it. Yeah.
I don't remember me mourning when Obama got elected.
Philip, no, but Philip.
Can I just interject? I am a woman. I'm also Mexican and Guatemalan, and my parents are from, they immigrated here, and a lot of the language that Trump was using really hurts. It hurts because I am from here. I'm an American citizen, and I essentially was told that I'm not wanted here. That they don't want me here. That really hurts.
No, he talked about illegal immigrants, not citizens.
I do believe he generalized using general terms, like the word Mexican and not
illegal. He said those Mexicans
illegal.
were coming over here and they were rapists.
Mexico doesn't send its best.
That's my mother he was speaking of.
Yes.
And it hurts. It really does hurt.
Yeah.
And that's my president now.
Thank you so much, Philip. We are so grateful that you joined the conversation, and we look forward to hearing from you again from Minnesota. We appreciate that. We're going to have the Don when we come back. Kevin Naughton joins us in the studio, as is Michael Silver. More after this on 720 WGN. More after this. What? No, I want to do another break because we're going to dance a little bit in the Allstate OK Studios in Black Sabbath. Joining me is comedian Kevin Naughton, who has the show Snapshots every second Monday of the month at Zany's on Wells. Hosting this month is our very own guest, regular guest, Paul Farvar, who texted in, by the way, in response to our last caller, Philip, who was calling from Minnesota, who had some questions about the protesters. Why were they crying? Why are they upset? And also the comparison to, well, we didn't cry or I didn't cry. I don't know why that's the part. I mean, okay. I'm glad that you didn't, and I'm glad that you were not afraid. This was a different campaign. One of the things that Paul Farvar says is also in 2008, McCain was a gentleman and shut down a woman who was chanting that Obama wasn't an American. Do you remember John McCain at a rally? Mm-hmm. A woman stood up and was yelling that he's not an American, and John McCain walked over to her and said, please stop. That's not true. He is an American. Mm-hmm. And he was a gentleman. And so this is a different candidate. This is a different president-elect.
Yeah.
And I think that is what people are responding to. I understand that it's difficult to understand and that we seem annoying, I guess. I guess Winding. People's mourning is annoying. Disappointment is frustrating to you. Perhaps there's something else you need to examine, that people's pain annoys you. There's something you have to discover about yourself. And we have on the line with us also Don. Mike Silver is in studio with us. He is an artist and a physicist and is bringing some logic for me. And Don wants to join the conversation as well. Don, what did you want to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, first of all, I thank you guys for being open-minded to actually talk to conservatives like me to discuss the issue before.
We want to talk to everybody. This is everybody's country.
Good.
Yes, thank you, Don. Go ahead.
This is good. Because that's the answer, talking it out and finding out what both sides think. Well, in a Donald Trump case, and the two personalities were, the two crabbiest people I've ever seen in a debate.
I think that's true.
Oh, yeah.
It was hard to
watch.
You
get Hillary, you got a cranky woman, and you get Donald Trump, you got a cranky old man. Hopefully he settles down, and like his acceptance speech was a totally different Donald.
Yeah.
And
hopefully I was so grateful.
Yeah, goes on that path. And I think, the people protesting and, the left and what your comments are, you're swallowing what the media presents to you. And I don't think he's as bad as he is. I think he's a paper tiger. And he was a liberal at one time, so that's in your favor, that it's going to be a blend between conservative ideas and liberal ideas and the conservatives are going to get 100%.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah. Background. Does that concern you at all, Don, knowing that perhaps Donald Trump presented one sort of policy, you know, his campaign, you know, when he was asked very early on by Anderson Cooper, do you think women should be punished if they have an abortion? And it was sort of a tenuous answer. He wasn't quite sure. He thought that someone should be punished. Do you have any concerns that once he is president, because in the past he has supported things like Planned Parenthood and abortion, that he will then change and be more like that guy 20 years ago? Do you have any worries about that at all?
You know, I think he'll probably adjust to, like, what we know about abortions and, you know, where everybody's kind of going is to, you know, stop the late-term abortions, mm-hmm. you know, and that's where we're headed to that because, you know, society is getting sensitive to this thing. And, you know, so I don't think he'll change the position, you know, that much where he's going to go extreme, like a far right, you know, conservative.
Right.
But I don't think this guy is a fascist. This thing is being called fascist and that, you know, that's, you know, Hitler, you know? I mean, Hitler has not come to power here, you know? So
what do you hope for? What are the things that what do you hope for in this candidacy?
What I hope is that they solve the Obamacare issue, which, you know, like I've got friends who are paying almost $3,000 for their family, you know, and because they're a business for themselves, and they just can't take their kids to the doctor. That needs to be solved because, you know, on the backs of the middle class, Obamacare was placed. And you certainly have to have friends that are suffering from that, too. Seeing the result, it's not working. It's got to be fixed. The college thing, I think he's going to go with a little bit of Bernie's idea on making it more affordable for kids to go to college. I mean, what he said about the inner cities, I hope he takes to heart and does it, where he says, give me a chance to solve the, you know, the inner city black community problems, you know, and which have not been taken care of by a lot of black friends I work with. And nothing has been done over the last 8 years, and they're frustrated about that with the Obama administration. They didn't tackle any of those issues. So hopefully Donald Trump will take advantage, and they need to do that because that's an important part of our society. And, you know, we're teetering here between the haves and have-nots, and that has to be balanced, which I understand the left is trying to do, but the left is a little extreme on that, you know, want to redistribute everything in a hurry. We need to take this slow and bring jobs back. And hopefully this businessman can bring it back here.
And I think, do you agree that we should all be holding not just Donald Trump, but all of our legislators, all of, you know, the mayor, everyone needs to be, we need to start holding everybody accountable, whether that means calling and emailing and paying attention. Because every 4 years we like suddenly are surprised that this is our field of candidates. Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm tired.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're all worn out. I think, you know, and this upset, if you want to call it, I don't know if it was an upset, but
surprise.
I think it's exactly what you said. This is a fed up with politics thing. You know, we don't care. We want to change, you know, and that's what's going for, you know.
I agree.
Because it had to be a lot of Democrats voting for him, too.
Oh, and not showing up. I think there was a bigger case of not showing up. I have a question for you. One more question, Don. Do you have any interest in going to the zoo, Lincoln Park Zoo, for the Brew Lights at Lincoln Park? Can I invite you to that?
Absolutely.
Excellent. I want you to hold on the line. Craig's going to get your information because I'd like to send you a pair of tickets to the Brew Lights at Lincoln Park Zoo on Thursday, December 1st. You can savor specialty brews from 12 breweries under festive holiday lights. Early bird tickets are on sale now through November 11th at lpzoo.org/brewlights. There are, by the way, you have to be 21 or over, but Donna, we'll go ahead and guess that you are. So thank you. Please.
Okay, now hang on 1 second. I got this for you.
Yeah, what?
The horn. Here you go.
Oh, yes, please.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Don. Please
you have a good one.
Call us again and join
together.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. So much work to do, and we do have to do it together. We also have a text from the 815 in response to the caller from Minnesota. That was Philip commenting on the demonstrations. They feel that if Trump had lost, there would have been riots because of the rhetoric that Trump himself used about rigged elections and words inciting violence. What do you think about that? Were you at all worried that if Trump lost, there might be violence in the streets?
I didn't look at it that way at all.
No.
I really didn't think that there would be that much of a problem.
Right.
Under those conditions.
Right.
You know, I got this big we'll see going on in my skull about the whole thing. You know, we, I realized the Mike had mentioned the divisiveness amongst everybody in this election more than any other election that we can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And but the cat's elected, and now we got to see what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like
that.
And I
got to tell you, if you don't mind, if I went into a coma November the 2nd, I think, around Wednesday at noon, and was out cold until, say, yesterday morning at 3, and then I came to, and I'd say, hey, what happened in the news? You guys would have said to me, well, the Cubs won the World Series,
yeah,
and Trump is the president.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I want to thank some of our listeners that are one, I want to thank everyone that is joining the conversation. And by the way, when I asked Philip to be respectful, I know that I also can use a tone that can be condescending or can be dismissive. So if I'm trying to catch myself, because I am disappointed with the results, but I know that this means that there things are broken. That was always clear on the Republican side. The people were angry, and we were going to go with this guy, even though by the way, a lot of Republicans that I know don't feel that Donald Trump represents them. That's why I was asking Don, what do you want? What are you hoping for? And we all, not just with Donald Trump, not just with the president, we all need to keep track and find what in your neighborhood, with your aldermen, with your representatives, with your state senators, you know, make sure you know what they're voting on, what's coming up. This amendment that was on the ballot yesterday passed with an ease, and it was the Safe Roads Amendment, which, you know, was so poorly written and so confusing to understand, and we all just voted for it. And that's fine if that's what, you know, basically it's a lockbox. And, you know, it's funny that in 2000, it was funny when Al Gore said it, and now we've locked away money that cannot be used for anything else into a fund that is generally replenishing. Hi, Dave, how are you doing? What did you want to tell us?
Hey, I think both sides are going to have to take off the gloves.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have to accept the way things are now. It's not going to do any good for all this one side or this side or that side. He's like a newborn baby now because he's in an incubation phase right now where he's going to have to start learning the fine art of statesmanship. He's got to grow up.
Right.
And, you know, because he's still kind of fragile and vulnerable.
That's a major stage to learn how to be a statesman.
Yeah, you're thrown in the den.
This is a new kind of politician we're experiencing. And, you know, we got to wait and see, give him a chance. Mm-hmm. He was certainly not my choice.
I wonder if he'd want to be called a politician, right? So he's a new president, that's for sure, but I don't even know if politician is the term right now. He's definitely a new president, though.
Well, we're always complaining in America that it's the old line politicians and the establishment that's ruining things. Well, hey, we got what we wished for. It didn't come in the shape, color, or form we wanted, but we got it.
Mm-hmm.
So
this has changed.
Be careful what you wish for. It may come true. But he's a businessman, and I am hoping that he will do something to disrupt the way the economy is going for the better, because we do need a disruption. We do need someone to shake things up. The middle class is continuing to shrink all the time.
Yes.
And if it's from the 1%, if it works, so be it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, when people talk about going, you know, make America great, which is one of the things he ran on, I've asked people when they mean, you know, and I think a lot of people will say the 1950s. And at that time, the highest tax break, well, when we talk about the economy, the highest tax bracket in the 1950s was 90%, which was rolled back under John F. Kennedy to 78% for the highest tax bracket.
Oh, wow.
And it was then, I think Ronald Reagan brought it down to about, so it's come down. So America was great, I guess, during the 1950s in that sense, when the highest tax bracket was 90%. So I mean...
The 1950s and 60s pretty much made the middle and upper middle classes after World War II.
Exactly.
Everything was made here. We had factories here.
Manufacturing, correct.
Mm-hmm. He's got to do something about China, and I don't know if that's possible.
Well,
I don't know what he's going to do.
I also wonder about that. As far as manufacturing goes, the other issue that we don't talk enough about, really, and I just saw an article about the guy who runs Tesla,
Elon. The cars?
Yeah. He, I mean, everything is going to automation and robotics. So what kind of manufacturing jobs can we bring? I mean, obviously, there are a lot of things that will continue and probably always need to be done by hand, but that becomes a smaller segment of the workforce as we progress with technology. Don't you think, Dave?
Yeah.
So
definitely.
So I think that we need to start figuring out other ways that, you know,
to create jobs.
Yeah. How we consume things, what we consume, what that means for our economy, for our communities. What do you think, Dave? Make sense?
I do, but we also have to stop making excuses. I mean, China is, in my opinion, very menacing. I mean, everything is made there, and
that's a problem. Unacceptable.
And we got to start building bridges with South America too.
Yeah,
that's what I want to see done.
I agree. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks. You've had a very balanced and forgiving audience, and I hope that we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
You know. All right. Yeah.
Thank you, Dave. Okay. And by the way, I want people to know who are afraid tonight, who are sad and afraid. It is not easy for so many people who felt the brunt of so much of the angry language that was used. If you listen to the show, you know that I, in particular, the evening that Donald Trump's tapes came out on that bus with Billy Bush, as a survivor of sexual assault, I struggled with that for a while. I mean, there is an element of just really this pain that I can't describe, and fear. I do have that because we have elected somebody who uses language like that, and perhaps he doesn't. Maybe, you know, we can write it off as that's just locker room talk, but writing it off, that becomes a difficult area to occupy as well. And so these are the things that I have struggled with, and the language about women, the language about immigrants, making fun of a reporter with a disability. These are the things that we are wrestling with, that is who has been elected to be the president. So, you know, we want to be proven. I want to be proven wrong.
In that light of giving him a chance, right?
Right.
Maybe uses that language isn't the right way to think right now. Used that language and even
Thank
the past
you.
Campaign.
Okay.
But
that's fair.
Again, damage has been done, but he used that language. Let's let him prove to us that he does not use that language. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be a keen eye on him.
Chet wants to join the conversation as well. Hi, Chet.
Hi, good evening, Patty.
Hello.
I'm one of your Facebook friends. You know me by a different name, but I wanted to tell you something about being an older man. I'm not exactly a Republican, but my views are probably a lot different politically.
Sure.
Than you. What troubles me more than anything, and I'll tell you why I voted for Trump. There are pretty much three or four reasons, and I'm troubled in doing that. I held my nose doing this, okay?
And that's not the way we should vote. I want to be inspired.
It is not. Yeah. But first of all, I just adore you as a person. I think what you are, the entertainer, what you do, the way you deal with people, so much different, all different people of different types, different views. You're just amazing. And if more people on both sides would do this, yeah, we have our faults. People say things they don't mean, okay? People tend to polarize toward their own type. I've supervised people that couldn't speak English, and I taught them how to bake and how to do things before I got my
cool
own truck.
How cool is that? Cool.
And East Indians I've supervised. Then the Mexicans when I worked for the party rental place. They called me Langosta. Because there's no Mexican equivalent to what my real name is. And, it got to be funny because I knew a little bit Spanish, and I knew when they were talking about me. And it got to be funny, and it got to be love after a while.
Oh.
And it's because we were so different, and they knew I hated beans, and they used to tease me about it. But the thing is, I'd be munching on their food, and I love Mexican food. And there's so much to be gained through this diversity.
Yes.
But people have got to realize, if you're black, you're going to tend to polarize a little bit toward your own type. And that goes
we're tribal.
To everybody else.
Mm-hmm. We're all tribal. I think, yeah, I think that we all, we seek out people who are like us. Yeah. Michael has talked about that.
You're more comfortable sometimes, especially if you come to this country and you don't speak English. You know, you're going to be with people you can talk to.
Right, neighborhoods and stores.
We have to respect. Now, I firmly believe that there's been so much polarizing. My career was almost destroyed by this. And they moved my cheese, and I was able to figure a way out. But, I mean, I could have lost my house. I could have lost everything because somebody decided that, you know, with my record at what I do, I'm the best that there is. And for many years, and I just had my career because of some moron that decided to stereotype me. And you know what? But I didn't get angry. I found a way to deal with it the right way because that's what you got to do. This is America. And thank God I was able to come up with something. And I still have my truck, and I'm making money again. And, you know, I've had all kinds of things happen in the last year. But thank God, you know, we've been able to do it. But the thing is, everybody's got to get together. Many of the things that, oh, God, I'm so worried about Trump. And you, Patty, the way you just mentioned, I can understand why you would be upset.
Thank you.
At the same thing, there's a reason. The reason I would never vote for Hillary, there's just too many problems. Now, she would have sat down with Bernie, and the two of them, when she won that nomination, would have worked together to make some of his people. There are so many people. I might have voted for Bernie. I don't know. But if the Democrat, they could have won the White House. I firmly believe that. And the thing is, the belligerence of this woman, people have had enough of this. Our government needs to change. I've heard people say that. And I see it in my industry. I paid more in taxes the last couple of years than many people make.
And that's the thing. And that's what we were talking about, the middle class. We've been talking about the middle class and how much the middle class is shrinking. You know, we have more people who are poor, more people who, you know, the disparity is just so wide. And, Chet, I know you have so many things to say. I want to thank you for joining the conversation. I do have to take a break. It's always great to hear from our listeners. We want to hear, this is a conversation that is safe for everyone. Margaret, that includes you. We're going to come back and take your call right away when we come back on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio taking your calls. I want to make sure that we take Margaret, who's been holding on for quite a bit. Hi, Margaret. How are you doing?
Well, I'm fine, Patty. I just wanted to say I'm in agreement with several of your callers that, you know, indicated that they certainly want to give Donald Trump a chance to see, you know, that things do go well. I guess one of my concerns is has to do with who he will select to be in his cabinet, because we know how important the right people in any president's cabinet is, because they have a great influence on the person's decision. And with the people you have there this evening, I guess I wanted to have some idea what their feelings were as to, you know, do they feel that, you know, his selection, for one thing, I heard on the news today that possibly Newt Gingrich might be the Secretary of State. I don't know if that's true or not.
I believe he announced that earlier. Was it over the weekend? It would be his Attorney General.
Rudy Giuliani.
Rudy Giuliani, right. Well, both of those kind of scare me. Newt Gingrich was certainly not the best-known person to try to work together with people who had different decisions, different opinions than he did. During Bill Clinton's, presidency, he certainly prevented just about anything that might have passed that would be helpful to most of the populace. So that kind of scares me. But what is the opinion of your guests there as to, you know, kind of being aware and looking at the decisions that Donald Trump makes regarding his cabinet?
Well, I would say this. Michael,
I have a little bit. Another name that's been thrown around, Chris Christie. That's another name.
As a Commerce Secretary.
Yeah, Commerce Secretary. Early on when I showed concern that he was running, and this was before the primaries and everything, I talked with a friend who said his dad is very pro-Trump, and they've talked about it. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay, cool. Well, you come from a very wealthy white family. His dad worked at the Department of Energy for years, and I think he's done there now. So he worked in the government for years. And his dad's, ignoring all of the any words or speeches or anything from Trump, his dad said the reason he will undoubtedly vote for Trump is because he knows the people he will put in his cabinet are very capable. That coming from a person who is very intelligent, but again, very conservative, white male, wealthy vote. Mm-hmm. So it, the cabinet, while it may not serve certain interests, I think will be capable people that will, everyone with all this like fire and brimstone and stuff, they will keep the country together. They'll keep it very operational and successful. It just certain interests may not be pushed under that cabinet, in my opinion.
I just don't want to see another Dick Cheney or a type of Donald Rumsfeld mentality come and control what decisions are made in, you know, that's going to affect everybody. Because, you know, during the Bush Jr. administration, certainly it seemed like Dick Cheney was pretty much running everything, and probably the war that we are in now with Iraq wouldn't have come to be if it wasn't for his influence. So I would hope, you know, that Donald Trump is able to use wisdom and insight and not be follow a person like that, you know, to make decisions that will affect us for years, on.
Mm-hmm. I think we should all consider ourselves on his cabinet, maybe, and be as loud as we can when we see disagreement that, you know, that's something we disagree with. And I think it's just, what is your hashtag?
Keep showing up.
Keep showing up.
Keep showing up. Yeah, keep showing up.
Thank you very much.
And Margaret, keep showing up. Thank you.
Okay, I will. Thank you, Daddy. Bye-bye.
I hope you keep calling us. We want you to always join the conversation. It was lovely to talk to you. Here are some of the names. And you know what? Let's talk to Greg, because this happened at my school. And I don't know. Well, perhaps at a bigger scale at your son's school. Greg, what happened today?
Thanks for putting me on this morning. And, I'm out of town, but my wife wanted me to talk to my son. And he had told me this afternoon that, you know, there were a number of fights that broke out at his school, including at his lunch period, a large brawl broke out. So it was an extremely scary situation. He also told me that one of the teachers was terminated today.
What?
Who he said there was a Spanish teacher that told a number of Hispanic kids in class to go back to Mexico.
Yeah.
And she was terminated.
Wow. Wait a minute.
I mean,
the students were telling other students to go back to Mexico, or the teacher did?
No, the teacher. The teacher told the students they needed to go back to Mexico.
So to Philip's question earlier from Minnesota about why we're worried, so these are some of the conversations that are happening. Now you're hearing from Greg, whose son witnessed a fist fight and a teacher was fired for telling Mexican students to go back to Mexico. My son goes to a school where it is a heavily the Donald Trump won the district that Griffin's high school is in, and they were using racial epithets about Tammy Duckworth, making fun of her disability. There was a lot of language about homosexuals in Griffin's school today, because that was, I think that's what people were afraid of, was mm-hmm. that they this and by the way, we know, I know that not all Trump supporters will use this language, and that they are not supporting this kind of behavior. But that was the fear, was that it only takes the loudest ones to hurt well, other people. How's your son doing? How is your son doing today?
You know, he was pretty upset about it.
Yeah.
You know, and I can see why. You know, and this is the problem. I mean, the Republican Party, and you know, I've always been a glass half full kind of guy. You know, I get along with everybody. I never talk about my political beliefs, but you know, it's gone too far. And you know, the Republicans, they opened this Pandora's box a long time ago.
I think that their Democratic Party carries a lot of the responsibility. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say it's going to be very hard to close it now that it's open?
I mean, if he delivers performances like his acceptance speech, I think it might be easy to put out these isolated fires. But if he further inspires these actions by behaving himself like one of these students, maybe that were witnessed today, then it will be a bigger issue.
Thank you so much for calling, Greg. And please pass along our best to your family. And I hope that your son's feeling better tomorrow, as I hope that my son does, too. We also have Patrick, you know, mentioning the speech you just alluded to. Patrick, what did you think of Donald Trump's speech last night?
It was all right. It was awkward. I could not download it to Facebook after I recorded it. You know, everybody that he went to reference was like, hey, Giuliani, my best friend over here. Oh, he's not here? Wait, what?
Yeah.
Everybody he said, like, I mean, besides his kids, everybody that they went to were like, oh, my God. I mean, like, their expressions were like, oh, my God.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I guess I did. But on the other side, this is a guy who does not want to have anything fail. I mean, yes, he has. I hope he's not like Rauner. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Because Rauner, I mean, he put us in 2 years in budget, you know, deficit 2 years. It hasn't figured out a budget. Come on. I don't think Donald will let that happen just because of his ego.
Mm-hmm.
I think some things will be better. You know, I hope for the best. You know, let's just hope that this guy is the guy that's not going to let anything be a bad spot on his marker. So when he leaves presidency, in his mind, 8 years from now, that we can say, as much of a jackass as he was on his trial or whatever you want, the campaign. Campaign, his whole campaign, whatever, where he made himself look like a jackass, and our country voted him in, that he can say after eight years, whatever, that we can look back and say, he wasn't that bad. I mean, he actually did something. I hope. I can only hope, because right now we're a lot of people. I mean, obviously he got voted in because a lot of people are done with all the political people that, you know, they said, no, we're done with Hillary. She's been there 30 years and really hasn't helped anybody out. That's, you know, and obviously, I don't know if you wanted Hillary or if you wanted somebody else, but not him. But I can only hope that, you know, this country, you know, again, the people that are ruling us are millionaires.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and as Michael, go ahead. We have to make sure people are accountable.
You go.
No, keep showing up, Patrick. Keep showing up. Go ahead, Michael.
I was just going to say, it's amazing that the people ruling us are millionaires. He's a millionaire.
I don't. Well, again,
I know, but it's a shakeup.
Are they running us? Are we letting them? And this, people are trying to figure out how protests afterwards. You know, it's important to exercise your First Amendment right. Did all the people that are out protesting, they're in places where Hillary won a lot of the protests. And I think there's frustration of, I didn't vote for this guy. So the rest of the country is going to say, see, look at the people that wanted to run this country. They're acting out. They're being, you know, they're blocking traffic in L.A. They're blocking the streets in Chicago. But the people who are protesting want to be around other people who are in despair, who are angry, who want to be heard. We're going to take a break here, and then we'll do the news, and then we will take Jason's phone call after all of that. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and we are having the conversation tonight for everyone, because this is happening, and some people are celebrating. Some people are scared. Some people want to wait and see what happens next. And I think those are all important things to talk about. There's a wide range of emotions tonight. Jason, how are you doing?
Doing very good.
Excellent. What did you want to share with us?
Well, honestly, this whole situation now that Trump has won, and all the protests that are going on, I'm baffled by. I mean, I understand not not being okay with something or not agreeing with something, but what do they expect to gain by protesting? It's not like we can just recall the election and say that now Hillary's going to be president. All we're doing by protesting is putting people in danger. I mean, you have increased police activity. You have people blocking traffic. Parents can't get home to their kids. I mean, to me, I just don't understand the reason for protesting in the way that they are.
Esmeralda, do you have any, as far as Chicago goes, how the protesting affected traffic? Because it seemed as though it was managed very well down here. Because, I mean, I got down here pretty quickly.
Right. It did block Lakeshore Drive a couple times, but that was pretty quickly resolved. Mm-hmm. They got back onto the streets. I mean, they're mainly downtown. There was huge groups of people, but it seemed pretty quiet for the most part. They mm-hmm. were protesting, but, you know, they weren't – I haven't heard – at least yet, any
problems
reports
with, like,
of
emergency vehicles or things,
right,
like that.
Right, any
yeah.
emergency vehicles or any arrests. There yep. were police, mm-hmm. but it was, you know, for the protesters and for the safety of the people around them.
And the amount of hours logged by our Chicago Police Department and our fire department, but the police department has been, since before the World Series, during the playoffs,
oh,
they
yeah.
have been working nonstop. There were 12-hour shifts, some of them more than 7 days in a row. They are now on it again, and they did a great job down here, and the protesters were peaceful. Mm-hmm. But go ahead. I know Michael wanted to address what Jason was talking about, too.
We brought it up a little earlier in the show, and you could probably find that online if this is posted. But a few other points about the protesting is I really think these people just want to be heard, right? I mean, the ballot and the vote is confidential. And in some states, it's illegal to really publicly display or you know, show this. And people want to be heard. I think asking people or not to protest, I'm not saying you're asking them not to, but I'm saying they want to be heard. If they didn't, they feel silenced, right? And asking someone not to protest because is essentially saying, don't tell me what you want. The fact that you're right, it can cause more danger. It's, you know, that's a fact. More bodies in one place is just evidence enough of that, much less the emotions and anger.
I have a question now.
Yes.
In retrospect, haven't we been doing that the entire campaign? I mean, one person is saying what they believe, the other person is saying what they believe, and this has been going on now for 2 years. Now that the fact that the presidential election is over, it doesn't make much sense as to making yourself heard, because it's not going to change anything. We need to come together as a country.
Mm-hmm.
If we keep doing this, we're just going to keep pushing each other away, and we're not going to heal from this. This is a huge, devastating blow to the entire country, whether you're for Clinton or you're for Trump. It's a very, very devastating time, and if we keep pushing at it the way we are, it's not going to get better.
So a person who's sitting in, I was there at the protest earlier, it doesn't feel divisive at all. It almost, and I hope it, and these probably online appear that way to people who don't understand or disagree with the protest, it's more of an expression, and it's not meant to divide or open a crag further than it already is, you know, the crack. And I really do hope that I personally feel like, yeah, I'll go protest, but now I'm also inspired to go to my city council meetings and my community meetings and help change things. And I do hope that this is the first step in all of these protesters' journeys, is becoming more politically active. A protest is an easy political activist thing to do. The harder ones are to sit through these meetings, to read up on what's changing, and to make the change that you want in the world. So personally, I'm looking at...
I completely agree with you on that. I really do.
And I think that these, ideally, all of these protesters will now be more just politically aware and active. So you're right, in the years and time leading up to something, it won't be this insane, this ridiculous of a process.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully these protests are the first step on these people's political journey.
We have no excuse to be caught off guard anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, for now, for over almost 20 years, people have been, and more than that. I mean, we can figure out where you start being disenchanted with your candidates. But I know that Al Gore's, the 2000 election was a disaster, in part because of the failure to put up candidates that everyone really wanted. Right? I mean, like, that was sort of a hold your nose moment. It wasn't to the extremes that we had this time.
Yeah.
This election is a culmination of more than two decades of just a failure to know how to appeal to the base, what people wanted, to listen to the Americans, of what was wrong in their lives. Don't you think? Jason?
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that, and that's why.
I agree with it.
And
the way the country has been going, it's just everybody is really tired of everything that's been going on.
Exhausted.
Yeah. We're very tired. So that, and that's why we're having these conversations. I will make mistakes when we have these conversations. I will, you know, go off course and maybe get argumentative and maybe use a tone people don't like. And I promise you, I want this to be a place where everyone wants to have a conversation. And
it could be as easy as that. I mean, people should be able to talk to each other regarding whether, like I said, it's for Hillary or for Trump, it's all for America.
Yes.
So we should be able to have a decent conversation in the sense of trying to figure out how to move forward from here.
Yes.
I mean, we can't get out of it. There's nothing that can be done.
No.
Mm-hmm. So how do we move forward?
And I also think that protesting is part of, as Michael was mentioning earlier, is part of the mourning and wanting to do something. And yes, they were doing it. Hopefully they voted. Hopefully they were paying attention before. But they feel the need to do something. I mean, there are people who I've asked people in my life to make sure they're taking care of themselves today, whether that means not overindulging in alcohol or drugs or making sure that they are going outside and just getting some fresh air, not sitting in front of the television and emotionally abusing themselves by watching or reading too many things that are hurtful to them. Take care of yourself, and then we will figure out what's next.
Oh, I have to agree 100%. I mean, I myself have had to stay off of Facebook.
Yeah.
And all social media because it's just...
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean,
there's so much... so many people against each other. I mean,
yes.
And families and things like that. It's really bad.
It is. Yep. It is. And it is going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
We will do this together.
Yep.
Jason, have a great night. Kevin, I know you've been wanting.
Well, I was listening to everything that was going on, and I was especially when Michael was saying what he was saying, I was taught something years ago, and I think it applies here, that we will – certain things – I'll get real fundamental. I was playing college baseball, and we lost a doubleheader, and we should have won the game. The coach took us out to center field after the game, and he yelled at all of us and told us we choked, we should have won both games, and we didn't. And he said, you know something, guys? You're going to keep losing. You're mm-hmm. going to keep losing until you get sick of it, and then something will change. And I think it's the same thing here. If you don't like what's going on, I completely understand that. A lot of us don't. But as you mentioned, protesting is one way. But then you literally have to become more responsible. You have to go down. You have mm-hmm. to apply yourself more, and you have to be so sick of this that you will help change this.
Mm-hmm.
So talk. We could talk forever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice show. You know? It really is. Oh. I love it.
I can only do so much here.
Yeah, understandable. But people really have to take the bull by the horns
yep.
and start changing this, and it yeah. takes little baby steps until we can change what it is that you don't like. You really have to go after it.
Yeah.
And you can't let up.
You got to want it.
You know, yeah.
It's not easy.
It is a lot of work. You have yeah. to be informed, and that's the very first step. Start reading, get informed, then take action based on that information. It's so yeah. much.
Now, be curious.
On the ridiculous side of this, I'd mm-hmm. like to go over there for a moment, because a lot of politicians, isn't the myth that politicians will say anything to get elected?
Right, yeah.
Say anything to get elected. If that's the case... The opposite side of Donald Trump, people should be encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he's saying anything to get elected and he got elected, well, maybe, and then he's going to get in office and not do what he said.
Yeah.
That's encouraging.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's crossed a lot of people's minds. That's one of the theories.
That's what I asked yeah. earlier was do you have any concerns that because he changes positions even in the course of the year and he has over the past 20 years shown different opinions, is there a concern that he's not going to really follow through on the reasons that he was elected?
Yeah. The big we'll see.
Yeah.
Yes. Scott, we're going to take your call when we come back. We will have a few minutes left for calls and conversation. 312-981-7200. You can call or text us. We are hanging out in the Allstate Showcase studio. Esmeralda Leon is in traffic. Craig Collins producing behind the glass. We also have Kevin Naughton, whose show Snapshots is every second Monday. So that's coming up this Monday at Zany's on Wells. Paul Farvar will be hosting. Michael Silver, do you have a production coming up? Anything you want to tell us about?
I play now in the musical Armando at I.O.
Oh,
so check that out.
Congratulations.
Thanks so much. It's with Stacey Smith, and it's every Friday night at 8 p.m. It's musical comedy. It's improv. It's so much fun. Take your mind off this election. Go out this Friday and check out the show.
Be around other people.
Yeah.
Be around other people. Keep showing up. More after this on 720 WGN.
Tell me something good.
Every night at the end of the show, we ask you to tell us something good. We are having our conversation about the election, so it might not be something good. I want to keep taking your calls, but this is the song we play at the end of every show. So tell me something. Tell me something good. Before we take the Scott's call, tell me something good, Michael.
Something good. I had a delicious meal tonight.
You did?
It was one of my favorite sandwiches. Am I allowed to say where?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I was at Cheesy's on Belmont.
Oh.
It is. I always get the Napoleon there, which has crumbles of bacon, hot sauce, tater tots, blue cheese, and cheddar. It is. I love that place. It's my place to go when I'm writing a paper, when I'm, I don't know. When I'm
that ever, sounds every really good. Go there. I need all the cheesies. You needed comfort food, didn't you?
It was so good, yeah.
Oh, so that good. Sounds great. Kevin, yeah. Tell us something good.
Let's tell you something good?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, just so you know, I bought this 45 in 1971 or 72 or something. So mm-hmm. That's thanks to showing my age. Mm-hmm. My brother Jimmy's listening in his truck right now, and I love him. I just want him to be safe.
Oh, that's great. Hey, Jimmy.
Wasn't there also a Marines comment? That
Yes, we wanted to say happy birthday happy to birthday. The Marines.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yes, happy birthday to the
happy
Marines.
Birthday.
And Semper Fi, everybody.
Right. Yeah.
And we will probably not have the Marines on for Semper Film until next month. There's a very busy month. I know they have their gala coming up, and it's the holidays. So hopefully we will have him back the first week of December. Also, I want to say Paul Farvar texted in. I'll tell you something good. He said, amen, Kevin, to the last thing that you said before the break. And also he wanted to chime in about some of the calls we've been getting in regards to whether or not Bernie would have been successful. He wouldn't have necessarily gotten the same votes because Trump would have attacked him as an insider and because he was Washington insider. So Paul's not buying that as an argument. Hillary got more woman voters from Trump, so also that argument that Bernie would win is a fail. I kind of like the way
Lord.
He writes this. But Hillary couldn't run on change, and this was something we talked about earlier, that her message, I have to agree, the message was really more about how let's protect President Obama's legacy seemed to be more like it was hard to find a thread except for you know, together we can do this. Mm-hmm. Love Trump's hate was the kind of thing that they were trying to, but that's not tangible. That's not jobs. Mm-hmm. That's not. And even though she might have had those plans, it wasn't cutting through. Mm-hmm. It wasn't her message was not getting through.
There was so much deflection that they never focused on something that people could cling to.
Well, and that's the thing. I think that she spent so much time dealing with how bad he was. She wasn't focused on what she was bringing as mm-hmm. much as people needed to hear from her. Scott wanted to join the conversation as well. Scott, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing good. I like Brothers and Marines and Cheesies. So
yeah.
Fantastic.
Stuff right there. I got just three quick points. You know, all these protests, I think that's a real lazy way of civic action, like you guys were just talking about. You know, get out there, get involved. Mm-hmm. Don't just give it lip service.
Yes.
And one of the biggest things I've seen is, you know, I'm from the West Coast. I'm a fan of the second worst team in the NFL right now, and Colin Kaepernick decides to go and do all this stance against, you know, treatment of blacks in this country and doesn't even vote on election day. And I have a real problem with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, some other sports guys have, and I bet you everybody there in the room probably does too. But I guess the third point, I just wanted to hear your views on it, is I'm a centrist. I look at both sides, and I question both sides. And I think that it was a really perfect opportunity this year, and if not this year, maybe in future years, to have disgruntled Republicans and Democrats get together and finally make a third party. You know, you can't get stuff done when you're always splitting the pie in two halves. But was the Trump phenomenon this year more so that middle America finally needed a voice, the folks in between the coasts? Generally, you have people in the big cities, the ones leaning left, the ones that speak the loudest, overshadowing the folks in the middle of the country, and they needed a chance to get their voice heard, and Trump's rhetoric was collateral damage. What do you think about that?
So I think there's a few things. The that's one of the reasons the Electoral College exists, is so that these non-highly populated areas still get representative vote, right? In theory, again, maybe it doesn't work always that way, but that was one of the reasons behind it. Another thing, I've thought a lot about this Middle America's Voice, and I think a lot of us are opening our eyes. But one thing I think I have to say about that is, yes, Middle America has been ignored, but the protests you're seeing now are from people who have been oppressed. And so I think there's a big difference between ignored and oppressed, and we need to kind of look at that balance and where those scales are. But I completely agree. The numbers and stuff show it seems to be that the Middle America Voice was screaming, and now we see the result of it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are screaming. Yeah. The results show a lot of pain from what Scott was mentioning, Middle America. We've had enough. We want something else. And now you're hearing the pain of people who are afraid, who have gained a lot of ground in the mm-hmm. last couple of years, whether it's gay marriage or, I mean, you know, there are, believe it or not, as much as we are disappointed and frustrated with the healthcare system, a lot more people now have access to healthcare. So there are people who are afraid of losing their ability to go see a doctor. There's a lot going on here. And Scott, thank you so much for joining the conversation. We appreciate
it. Absolutely. Thank you.
And we look forward to hearing from you again. And I think Philip has called back. I'll take Philip. Hey, Philip, what's up?
Hi. Different Philip.
Oh, different Philip. Where's the 331?
Joliet.
Oh, hello. There you go. What do you want to tell us?
I was actually going to respond about the other Philip. You said something about, like, the protests or the people in mourning are annoying you. And there are some aspects that are annoying me. And that's as somebody who didn't even vote for either party.
Uh-huh.
One, if you point out anything to them, they just automatically default to you're just a Trump supporter. And that's kind of discouraging and frustrating.
And unnecessary. It's not a conversation then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Two, the ones that just frustrate me the most were the ones that were saying they're going to move if a Trump candidacy happened. That was just so frustrating to me because, you know, if you want to remove yourself from the United States democratic process and, you know, abandon us so that you can't be involved in 2 or 4 years from now,
mm-hmm.
well, then, you know.
I agree. I agree, Philip. You got to keep showing up.
Keep
showing up, Philip. We look forward to hearing from you again. My show has ended, and Nick D is up next. Kevin Nott, I want to thank you for showing up.
Thank you, baby.
Everyone should show up at Zanies on Monday night. Go to Zanies.com for information on snapshots. I will be there as well, along with Paul Farvar, who's a regular on the show. Michael Silver is part of Armando at I.O. on Friday night.
The musical Armando, yes.
Excellent, and look forward to having you back, my friend. I'll see you over brunch at Knife and Time this weekend.